Blog Talk Radio.
Ew, what's poppin', my niggas? PSA motherfucking podcast. Salutations to all. You already know what it is, man. We got to talk about some battles that's being dropped on URL. RBE just dropped the battle. Hold on, let me get the nigga in here, man. Yo, what's good, my nigga?
Salute, my G.
Man, let's get right into this shit, my nigga. RBE, obviously, we talked about John, Big K. We talked about Loso, Show Off. We spoke about, I'm missing another battle, my nigga. Don't kill me here, ladies and gentlemen. What's the other battle we talked about, my nigga? John, Big K, Loso, Show Off.
Show Off.
Gems and Goods.
Those are the first two. Gems and Goods.
And Gems and Goods.
No doubt.
And now,
yes.
He's doing a 2-on-2 with Young Cannon and Big Cannon versus DNA and Charlie motherfucking Clips. First time ARP RBE is having a 2-on-2 on their platform. And the first time DNA and Charlie Clips is linking up. I mean, we had Charlie Clips and Goods, obviously, on the last 2-on-2 they had with Arsenal and Suge. I'm worried about the continuity. If we're talking about continuity alone, my nigga, that's going to DNA and Charlie Clips. I'm not too sure about the continuity with Young Cannon and Big Cannon. What do you think?
I'm really excited about this match for it to be their first match together because I think Young Cannon is one of the most underrated battle rappers in the history of battle rap. Big Cannon is a RBE staple. Big Cannon is, you know, somebody I think about when I think of RBE. I think of Big Cannon. Let's just keep it a stat.
And he got his ass kicked. And he got his ass kicked the last time he was on RBE. The last time he was on RBE, he's 1-on-1 against DNA. And it's funny,
and
Charlie Clips battle Young Cannon. Charlie Clips battle Big Cannon. So this is like, you know, everybody battle each other, basically, except I don't think DNA.
And that's why I really like this, because because it's a round robin. They all battled each other. And recently, DNA battled Big Cannon. So Big Cannon knows
right.
Everybody is giving DNA the victory. So what's good about this is he gets, like, immediate revenge. Like, you really see somebody get, like, a rematch. But he's literally getting a rematch. So for the first 2-on-2, I think this
rematch.
Is fine. I think this is fine.
I hope it's fire. I think DNA and Charlie Clips, I think this is going to be, I don't want to use the word easy for them, but we just saw Charlie Clips and Goods, man. I think we're going to see the same thing with DNA and Charlie Clips, with the jokes, the humor, the you pass the rock, I pass the rock back, and it's going to be lovely. I'm not taking nothing away from Young Cannon and Big Cannon, both Chicago natives. I don't think Big Cannon lives in Chicago anymore. If memory serves me right, got to get back to him on that. I think he's in Las Vegas now. But, I mean, we saw Chilla Jones and B-Magic when they did their 2-on-2. They sounded good together, even though they don't live in the same city. Is there any concern to you at all about that?
No concern at all. Did you have a concern when Ill Will and Rum Nitty teamed up? They did pretty well together, and they're not from the same place. So that's not a concern at all. Young Cannon is so dead nice that I'm just happy to hear
this
Young
Cannon.
This is
2-on-2, my nigga. This is 2-on-2. You get 4 bars, I get 4 bars. You go back in.
That's
let's
not
say
how,
that you go off like.
People, that's not how people do 2-on-2s. That's not. See, first of all, you don't like 2-on-2s. So let me tell you, that's not how 2-on-2s.
Wait. What do you mean? I don't like 2-on-2s.
You don't like
2-on-2s. I don't like 2-on-2s.
They're not your favorite. That's not your favorite form of battle rap. You don't count them or acknowledge them like I do. I count 2-on-2s. So when you're like, it's 4 bars.
What do you mean? What are you counting, sir? What are you counting? That goes on your resume. Like when you think of Charlie Clips and Goods, that's on a resume?
Yes. It's on the resume. Because K-Shine and DNA reinvented themselves as 2-on-2 battle rappers. Okay? K-Shine and DNA reinvented themselves as 2-on-2 battle rappers. The 2-on-2 got them on ESPN, for crying out loud. Now, back to my point with just saying it's 4 bars, they got to pass it back and forth. No, they don't. One guy can rap,
for a minute and a half, and the other guy can just rap for a minute and a half if they choose to do that. It just depends on how they want to do it. Everybody doesn't have to pass it back and forth like Styles and P, like Tech and Steel. They don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Tech and Steel, that's a boot camp reference, Smith and Wesson. For those who
I know you like to throw it, of course. Listen, I got DNA and Charlie Clips, man. I got DNA and Charlie Clips winning this, man. If they ever win in 2-on-2s, though, I mean, you know, that's good for the RB to.
Absolutely. You see, the fact that you even asked that question, is there ever a winner? Yes, there is a winner on 2-on-2. Salute to RBE. This is a fire 2-on-2 matchup. I'm litty for this matchup.
I'm litty for it because I really want to see. Now, here's the question. Do you think DNA and Charlie Clips are going to work better than DNA and K-Shine?
I don't know. We got to see. And the reason why I say I don't know, we got to see, because DNA and Charlie Clips have been sparring together for years.
They're boys.
So they're going to be very comfortable. They're going to be very comfortable vying with each other. I think it's going to be flawless.
Young Cannon and Big Cannon are going to try to match DNA and Charlie Clips' jokes, because you know they're going to have a lot of jokes.
No, they don't have to. All they got to do is come with bars. All Young Cannon and Big Cannon got to do is come with bars, man. They don't got to be funny and jokey. They don't got to do that.
Who you like, man?
I like Clips and DNA. Edge. With a great showing.
Edge,
because here's why it's the Edge. Because I believe Young Cannon is just going to be too nice.
What is
they're
it?
The Young Cannon show?
You have no respect for. I mean, all you keep talking about is YK. And let me say this also. You said YK is one of the most slept on cats in battle rap history?
Underrated battle rappers in the history of battle rappers.
You could throw Big Cannon in the same equation also. He's in that top 10 list. If you make a top 10 list of most underrated cats, you could throw Big Cannon in the conversation also, not just YK.
Yes, you can.
Go with DNA and Charlie Clips, man. I'm not edging. I'm going to go clear, too. Clear.
Okay.
Just clear. They're going to be funny. Even though Big Cannon could jump into freestyles, but you got DNA and Clips with a freestyle, so I'm pretty sure they're going to say some funny shit.
Big Cannon.
I'm going DNA
Big
and Charlie
can
Clips.
Rebuttal. Big Cannon can rebuttal, man. Do not sleep on
so
Big
DNA
Cannon.
So DNA and Clips can, too. DNA and Clips
I know
can.
Absolutely, but so can Big
so
Cannon.
So it's 2-on-1. It's 2-on-1 if the rebuttal game. No shade to YK, but
It's 2-on-1. It's 2-on-1 rebuttal game, right? You're giving them that, right? Who's going to have the best lyrical round? Young Cannon. Now who got the edge? Four guys. Who's going to have the best lyrical round? Young Cannon.
So, once again, fuck Big Cannon, because you just keep talking about YK.
No. We're already saying Big Cannon is going to have the rebuttaling game. He's going to have that
on. You sound like Drew Rosenhaus, lawyer for YK. You know, you sound like you're his lawyer. But you're coming here on the show making a case for YK and let Big Cannon just sit in the corner sucking his thumb.
Big Cannon, because you're not listening to me, Big Cannon is going to be the one who's able to rebuttal everything they say, and then he can segue into the rounds that they have prepared. That's where he's going to have his strength. And then the strength of Young Cannon is that he's going to have venom. He's going to be throwing poisonous darts at them.
All right. We shall see with that match, man. Let's slide over to URL Survivor Series, they're calling it. Reminds me of fucking WWF Survivor Series back in 88 when Hulk Hogan had his squad with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. But nothing near the end of it. But I want to highlight two matches on this card, sir, before later down the week we'll talk about other cards. We've got our week for other cards. I want to talk about Madness! New Jersey Twerk against Brooklyn's own Mr. Wavy. Now, you ask the average battle rap fan, they would tell you New Jersey Twerk should be the high favorite going into this particular battle. home court advantage, even though his name is New Jersey Twerk. I know he has DMV ties, if that means anything to you. If you want to say he has home court advantage, okay, you can run with that also. Mr. Wavy, last time we seen you, my G, I want to say, was it against Bill Collector? Am I right on that? Was it Mr. Wavy? What was Mr. Wavy's last battle, my nigga? I'm trying to remember him. Mr. Wavy's last battle. Mr. Wavy.
Well,
it was
that
Bill Collector. It was Bill Collector, yes. It was definitely Bill Collector. Not a battle that was one of my favorites on both parties. I remember interviewing Mr. Wavy before that battle, and he really wasn't thrilled about a Bill Collector. I'm pretty sure you ask him now, he's going to be up to battle New Jersey Twerk. Mr. Wavy, New Jersey Twerk, madness! Talk to me.
I'm very happy to see Mr. Wavy back in the ring. Mr. Wavy has just had bad luck with battle rap because sometimes a lot of his opponents didn't show up. He's had that happen like twice to him. I'm a big fan of Mr. Wavy. I'm a big fan of Mr. Wavy. Loved is an understatement for his We Go Hard battles.
Oh, boy. Love.
Okay? Love. His We Go Hard battles,
love.
My shit.
Love.
Oh, you don't like. That shit on We Go Hard was fire. His PG battles against Prez Mafia and Adi Boom, fire.
Dope. Those are dope.
Mr. Wavy,
those are dope.
To me, Mr. Wavy had – Mr. Wavy was next up. And then the no-shows hurt him. And then the battle against John John set him back because the crowd just decided they were not going to rock with him.
You can't just put it on the crowd. You can't just put it on the crowd when you're kicking teddy bears into the stands and all that. Come on, my nigga. Come on. And John John is not even a guy that – John John's a guy that people don't even really rock with like that. Let's be real, man. He's getting hated on. But top 10 niggas and a league owner.
They rocked, check this out. They rocked with him that night. They rocked
because his material was better than Wavy's. Because his material was better than Wavy's.
That's your opinion.
That's not a fact.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion.
No, I'm asking you. Is that not
when
a fact?
People talk about. No, it's not a fact, because what happened was when people talk about that battle, they talk about John John says, how I'm going to do your style and do it better than you. And the crowd went crazy. I mean, they just
this is not the first time they've done that for John John, sir. This is not the first time they've done that for John John.
Listen,
collective battle.
Listen,
hey, man,
let me just say this. Let me get back to Wavy and Twerk. I got Wavy winning this 3-0.
Come on. You're basing this on what? What are you basing Wavy being on Twerk?
On
when
the
hear
fact
this shit.
That Wavy nicer to me. On the fact that Wavy is nicer. That's what I'm basing it
nicer
on.
Nicer in what, though? Nicer
what
in what? Nicer in what, though? I'm not going to let you slide through the
and,
nice word.
Rapping.
Nicer than what?
I'm battle rapping.
And you're
in
basing this
rapping.
On what? You're basing this on what? Because New Jersey Twerk has a better resume than Mr. Wavy. He has more replay value battles than Mr. Wavy. Let's be clear on that, and I like
that's
Mr. Wavy.
That's a lie. That is a lie.
That's a battle rap fact.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So you want me to go? So what you want me to do? You want me to go watch Mike P versus Twerk and go back watch Cortez versus Twerk? Those are the replay battles you want me to watch? I'll go watch them right now.
You're picking battles that he lost, okay? Hip Hop Historian guy. You're picking battles that he lost. Fine.
Is that the battles you want me to watch?
You can watch JC battle. You can watch the Clean Paper battle. You can watch the Ill Will battle. You can watch those also. The W battle. You can watch those also.
Are we going to act like Mr. Wavy and BK Shine?
Beat him 2-1.
He beat K Shine.
Beat Shine after Shine joining WX. After that, Shine, well, that's the battle Shine was rapping like he was on fucking speed, like he was fucking drinking 5 energy drinks, rapping on fucking fast. I couldn't understand what the fuck he was talking about.
So
Mr.
What's
your
Wavy
point, B. Shine? How many years ago that was that? Wavy's name is not popping in the battle rap streets right now like New Jersey Twerk. Right now, Wavy goes on Twitter and calls. Hold on. Right now, Wavy goes on Twitter right now and calls out a bunch of battle rappers. It's going to be crickets. When Twerk does it, all these niggas respond. All these niggas respond to him.
Let me ask you a question. Who won that Mr. Wavy Adi Boom battle?
Wavy.
Who won
that
Prez Mafia? Who won that? I want to have a conversation with you about battle rap. Can we do that? I want to have a conversation about Mr. Wavy's resume, because you said Twerks is better than his, right? That's what you said.
Yeah, yes, it's a better resume. It's a better resume than Mr. Wavy.
You dissect it.
Well, let's dissect it, buddy.
And we are. We're talking URL battles. You asking me what's the point? He battled Adi Boom on URL Proving Ground. Now, did he battle Press Mafia on URL
talking about Proving Ground battles. This nigga's bringing up Proving Ground battles, comment boys. Yeah, y'all beloved Sean. He's bringing PG battles from how many years ago? Wow.
When Mr. Wavy battled Press Mafia, that was not a Proving
We wasn't
Ground
even
battle.
Talking about the Griselda boys. We wasn't even
when
talking
Mr.
about the Griselda boys when Wavy was out here. Let's just keep it tall.
When Mr.
Prodigy
Wavy
was still alive.
When Mr. Wavy battled Press Mafia, that was not Proving Grounds. That was on a card. Okay, that wasn't a Proving Ground.
Well,
Mr.
I'm not talking about that particular battle, smart guy.
Mr. Wavy's battle against Bill Collector was not Proving Ground. Mr. Wavy's
that
battle
was not a good
Keyshawn
battle. That was not a good
ground.
Battle. No one cared about Mr. Wavy and Bill Collector, my nigga. Let's keep it tall. No one gave a rat's ass about that shit. I'm pretty sure you asked Wavy how many times you watch you and Bill Collector. He probably tell you twice.
I watched it and I liked it. That's when he said I'm walking like a zombie with it. Okay, yeah.
No, he said
fine.
Against Keyshawn. He said against Keyshawn, not against Book Collector, sir.
Okay. Fine.
You don't like twerk. You don't like twerk. You fuck me. There's no logical reason why you feel Wavy could beat twerk. I don't understand. First of all, let's be clear.
Like
you would never pick twerk to win a battle.
Let me tell
it's still
you.
It's so shocking to this day when I had to tell you that twerk lost to JC. You had to eat that and it killed you. It killed your battle rap soul. It killed your battle rap soul that you knew Twerk beat JC.
Yo, you can then pick Twerk, man. And then my soul
twerk.
Will have to be killed again if he beats Wavy. Okay? I like Wavy better. I watch more Wavy
it's
battles,
an upset.
Nigga.
Mr. It's
Wavy.
An upset to me if Wavy beats Twerk. It's an upset if Wavy beats Twerk.
Mr.
To me.
Wavy.
How about that?
God, nigga.
Huh?
Mr. Wavy. Sty, nigga. I'm saying that you just like, what are you talking
about? What does that mean, Bedford? What is Bedford Stuyvesant? What does Bedford Stuyvesant got to say?
Nigga.
Oh, so you're picking because he's a Brooklyn nigga. Not because you feel he's going to really win.
No.
Because with a borough you live at and what hood you at, you're at. Okay, fine. Okay, that's
come
what we're doing.
Dot is a Brooklyn nigga. He's not my favorite battle rapper. Just because you're from Brooklyn.
Dot is nobody's favorite battle rapper.
I like Mr. Wavy. I like his style better than Twerk's. I think he's better than Twerk. That's
how
I'm picking Mr. Wavy.
How is he better than Twerk? I'm so lost.
Yo, my nigga.
I like Wavy.
You can't force a nigga on me.
Nigga, I'm not forcing nobody
not
on you, nigga.
Vito.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Not me. Not young Vito. You can't do it. I know my ears listen to. I know what I hear. I like Wavy better. And when you fuck,
I'm just trying to
understand
understand why, how, when you
forced me to watch Twerk, you know what I did? I said, let me watch him and really dissect
him. I forced you to watch Twerk. I forced you to watch Twerk. Okay.
And you know, Brooklyn nigga, I watched him go against Cortez. And I watched Cortez do exactly what I thought he was going to do to him. Give him a lyrical ass whipping. And I knew that was going to happen. Because niggas I fuck with who can battle them out, they're going to win. I got Wavy.
I think you're doing a twerk of the service. I mean, to sit here on the show, on our show, and say that let me get this right. You've enjoyed Wavy's battles more than Twerk's. I just want to be on record for that.
100 million times better. Not a little bit.
There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you this Saturday. There's something wrong with you this Saturday. There is something wrong with you on a Saturday morning. Did you go to the Bronx last night? Is that why you're bugging? You didn't get no sleep last night? There's something wrong with you. Were you in the BX last night bugging the fuck out doing what you do? Something is wrong with you this morning. You
yo,
say 100 times more. You like Wavy's battles, and look at the emphasis and the raising of your voice. How you sound like you making it sound like Twerk is a little nigga. Like, you should, let me guess, you got Wavy winning 3-0 also, right? Let me guess, right? Twerk ain't winning a round.
Yes.
Leave it up to you, right?
Yes. Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was bugging the fuck out being sarcastic. Say, wait a minute, Watson. Wait a minute. You got Mr. Wavy, 3-zip in New Jersey Twerk, in the DMV.
Yes. Yes.
Twerk's never been 3-0'd, but Mr. Wavy's going 3-0 him.
Yo, my nigga, I don't know what you want me to do, man. He's like, I don't know what you want.
I want you
to
act like you got some
you
fucking battle rap sense, my nigga.
Yo, my nigga, if I'm wrong, you know what you do? You get me on the show and you tell me, but you know what? I'm never wrong, because here's one thing about me. I don't never go with the URL fanboys, common boys think about no fucking battle.
What do you mean fanboy? What do you mean fanboy?
No nigga could tell
First
me
of all,
about a battle and how I receive it. No nigga. No crowd reaction, no nothing. Me and you, the same niggas that watch Ill Will do a Ill Griselda line with Conway and nobody
Facts.
Reaction.
Facts.
Let me be very
Facts.
Clear when I tell you this.
Facts.
No fan
Facts.
Favorite. No, you are not fan favorite. Can never be pushed on me. You gotta be dead nice for me to fuck with you.
So, are you insinuating Twerk? Are you insinuating Twerk as fanboys? Is that what you're doing?
I'm telling you about me, how I like a battle. There's nobody to make me or force me to like a nigga. My ears tell me. I know what dead nice is. I know what lyrical battle rapping nice addict is.
So Twerk has none of those attributes. So Twerk has none of those attributes you're just talking about right now. He has none of those attributes.
I like Wavy
I be
better, nigga. What you say? I like Wavy better. And everybody could be like, that nigga so buggy. How he got Wavy? Easy. I easily got Wavy, nigga.
What do you mean easy? What the fuck do you mean easy, my nigga? I got Twerk winning 2-1. I got respect for Wavy. You're not even giving Twerk a fucking round? A nigga who's never lost 3-0, but a nigga like Mr. Wavy's gonna come in the building and 3-0 this nigga? That's what you're telling me?
Facts!
This nigga is... Yo. Are you... Yo, my nigga, I can't believe you, man. I'm a lost nigga, man. What don't you like about Twerk, my nigga? I'm just curious. What don't you like about Twerk?
You got me all the way fucked up. You know better. You know I don't vibe. I vibe with who I like.
This is not about who you like and who you don't like.
Peep game.
My nigga.
Everybody, peep game. Everybody listens to us when we do our appreciations and we talk about shit. We recently did an appreciation when we talked about Lupe Fiasco and how we don't rock with him like that. That goes against everybody. So many
That's
people hit us up.
That's
y'all
the truth.
Bugging. Lupe, dead night, dead night. So the point I'm trying to make is there could be a nigga in battle rap like Twerk. Niggas like you like a lot. But a nigga like me, I hear it and I don't hear what you're hearing. We're hearing two different things.
So what are you hearing when you listen to him? What are you hearing then? I'm lost. What are you hearing?
Aggression.
You don't even know what the fuck you're hearing. You just going against the grain because and let me tell you something right now. Not everyone likes Twerk.
I'm just going against the
grain. Not everyone likes Twerk. Not everyone likes Twerk, my nigga. And I'm gonna tell you right now, there's some people that want Wavy to beat Twerk. I've seen that on social media. There's niggas who feel Twerk is stealing himself. There's people that feel Twerk is stealing himself. There's people who feel Twerk is getting a push. That he's getting, he doesn't deserve it. There's people feeling that way. I've seen that on social media.
So peep game. When it was time for Twerk to show me, he lost, and that was
he
the Cortez battle.
He bounced back and beat JC. My nigga, he beat JC, a nigga that you fuck with heavy. You don't want to talk
the
about
battle,
that. Common boys, you hear that right? Common boys. You hear your man Watson, right? You don't want to
talk to me about
battle.
The Mike P battle. Talk to me about the Mike P battle.
Right.
Talk to me about the Mike P battle.
Let's
talk
about
it.
He lost.
Talk to me about it.
He lost. He lost that battle. And he came on PSA Podcast. He came on PSA Podcast and broke that down lovely. If you ever want to go listen to that conversation, New Jersey Twerk, PSA Podcast, he broke that down how he lost. No excuses on the young boy's part. And I salute him on being a man and saying he lost. He didn't come on the show and talk about that.
Or do we think he won that?
No, he didn't come on the show and talk about that.
Okay. 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 Yo, my man.
But my nigga, being a young boy losing to Cortez is not a bad thing, my nigga. Being a young boy and getting a name like Cortez is not a bad thing. You a young nigga, you get Cortez first, so that's good and that's great on your resume. Number two, okay, you lost, but did you fight back? Yes, Cortez won to me 2-1, clear. I got Cortez winning that. But Twerk right. wasn't trash. You know what? So don't talk about JC battle. Don't talk about the Ill Will battle, right? Let's not talk about that, right? And we're going to diffuse that all the battle rappers' names that he's been calling out on social media, they actually respond back to this nigga, man. Hitman Holler told this nigga, I see you, Twerk. They're not saying I see you, Wavy. Wavy goes on Twitter, like I said earlier in the show, and says, yo, Hitman, I want to fuck you up. Hitman is not even talking to this nigga. Hitman won't even talk to this nigga. T-Rock won't even give him a conversation, my nigga.
Why is Wavy getting this battle then?
Because it's in the DMV, and it's a good look for Twerk to a point that you made a second ago that a lot of battles that he was supposed to get on his resume that could have propelled him and helped him a lot. The Young Ill battle, the Clean Paper battle, those don't go down. He gets big names like that, and he didn't get to show and prove. So he had to sit in the back of the bus.
Okay.
So that's what it is, man. Let's get right into NBA, my nigga. Oh, my nigga, what's going on in fucking Cleveland, Ohio, man? These motherfucking Cleveland Cavaliers, every time I'm looking, it's like a goddamn L next to their goddamn name, man. Last night, Indiana, first of all, I watched a little bit of this game, Mr. Watson. It was 22-6, right? So in the back of my brain, I'm like, Cleveland got this in a wrap. It's 22-6. You know, these niggas went on a 22-6 run. And your man, Lance Stephenson, playing some good defense. Cause I thought about you last night when I'm watching the game. I know how much you vouched for Lance Thomas, and you told the common boys, Lance Stephenson's going to have a hell of a year. We'll never let you let that down. But, yeah, man, Cleveland Cavaliers, another loss under their collar, man. 97-95, Indiana Pacers with a W.
Lance Stephenson came off the bench, man, and was and just energized the comeback. They were down by 22. And LeBron doesn't like Lance Stephenson. He never has. But LeBron, you ain't built. You ain't built. I saw you throwing
what does that mean? What does that mean? You ain't built. Wait a minute. What does that mean? You ain't built. I don't get that.
You do get. You know exactly what you ain't built mean. You know exactly.
No, I'm trying to see where the fuck you going with that. What do you mean he's not built?
If you know exactly what that means. He ain't built for acting like he a goon. You ain't Xavier McDaniel out this motherfucker. That's what I mean. All right? You ain't
so Lance
built.
Lance Stephenson's a goon?
Okay? You're not a goon.
Lance Stephenson's a goon?
You're not a enforcer? No, my point is, LeBron James, you're not a goon. You're not an enforcer. You're not known for that. You play basketball. Okay? All of a sudden, Lance Stephenson is D'ing up all up on you. You elbowing him. You pushing him. You telling the refs, come on, chill. Chill, my nigga. Lance Stephenson got under your skin. He helped lead that 22-point comeback. Who you going to blame? Who you going to blame? Y'all got problems.
They got problems? In January?
They three games in a row. They lost back-to-back games, 25-point blowouts. Yeah, they got problems. They got problems. That's why LeBron James is throwing temper tantrums and timeouts.
Let's talk about that right quick. Let's talk about that right quick. I'm glad you went to segue to that. What did you think about LeBron James' outburst on the sideline with all the players surrounding him? Do we look at it like, hey, Tom Brady does it? We've seen Michael Jordan do it. You and I have watched basketball. Sports.
Nope.
Fuck this basketball.
Nope, not the same.
Sports for
his
years.
Watch not the same. Nope.
Okay.
Not the same. You're not T.O., my nigga. We know T.O. does this. LeBron, you got mad because a coach had the audacity to say, why do you keep barking on everybody for defensive lapses when you out there guarding nobody? But every time somebody man get beat or get picked on the screen, you pointing them out, you demonstratively showing them out. So coach is like, yo, my nigga, you need to play some defense. LeBron lost his fucking mind. How dare you talk to King James? Come on, my nigga, you out there D'ing nobody. You don't play D no more, my nigga. You do not guard nobody.
my nigga, he's wasting all of his fucking gas and energy on the offensive side, my nigga.
That is why they're going to have Crowder. Because you do not want to see the difference maker. You don't want to see that guy. The guy AJ got 20,000 points, nigga. You don't want to see him. So y'all got Jake Crowder to hide the fact that you do not play defense no more. LeBron does not play D no more. You nigga, stop it with LeBron first two defensive players. You embarrassed that nigga already.
So hold on. So are we expecting LeBron James, who's been in the NBA since 2003, 18 years of age, to still be that guy? To be a first team all defensive type individual?
LeBron James,
is that what we're expecting? In the 15 years
LeBron
in the NBA?
We're expecting LeBron James to not just stand up, watch everybody run by him, and then bark on teammates every time his man blows by him and dunks the ball like fucking Donovan Mitchell was doing. Do you remember that game?
When
cocking it back, sidebar. Donovan Mitchell just dropped 35 points either last night or the night before. This man is the leading contender for Rookie of the Year. That's sidebar. And let me be very clear.
I agree with that.
Jason Tatum would be Rookie of the Year if it wasn't for Ben Simmons. Because that is complete disrespect for what Donovan Mitchell is doing. Jason Tatum is not Rookie of the fucking Year. Who want to argue that?
My nigga, wait a minute.
Who wants
to
argue
that? Wait a minute. First of all, you didn't even like Tatum in the beginning. Guess who was campaigning for Tatum during summer league? Oh, that'd be your partner, three letter man. Okay, you didn't believe in Tatum at all, so don't act like Tatum is not having a phenomenal fucking NBA rookie season. He's obviously in the discussion.
He's
definitely.
First of all,
Donovan Mitchell just started getting hot, even though you and I acknowledged him early before the media motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Did not just start getting hot. The first week into the season, we was like,
Tatum came out the gate hot. Tatum came out the gate hot, my nigga. What the fuck are you talking about? Tatum came out the gate hot, nigga.
Donovan Mitchell
didn't come out the gate hot. Nigga, we was talking about
Nobody
Tatum.
We was talking about Tatum
way before Donovan Mitchell. What the
you
fuck
was,
about?
Not me. You
no,
was.
No, both of us
not
was,
me,
nigga.
Was.
The fuck you talking
you
about?
Was.
We doing a show together. What the fuck
you
talking
was.
About?
Now,
we both was,
now,
nigga.
Let me
talk about.
Okay, so here's what I'm talking about. Donovan Mitchell's Rookie of the Year right now, and it's not Tatum. So all you
want to do is... I ain't got a problem with that.
ESPN and Undisputed and First Take and First Thing First. Stop this. If Ben Simmons wasn't Rookie of the Year, it would be Tatum. Fuck you mean it would be Tatum? Nigga, fucking Donovan Mitchell just at 85.
Tatum, because Tatum, my nigga, I can understand my nigga. Hold on, man. I can understand why they saying Tatum, man. He's a starter. He came out the gate. My nigga, he's helping out Kyrie tremendously. And he plays good defense. My nigga, he's out there balling. What are you talking about?
Yo, my nigga, you wilding if you got Tatum over Donovan Mitchell. And you don't. So
I don't. I don't. But I can understand why the national media will have Tatum. Because I think, my nigga, Tatum has a lot. My nigga, Tatum's in ball. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They feel that way because... Niggas was not talking about Mitchell from game one for the first 2 weeks of the NBA. No one was talking about Donovan Mitchell. We was talking Ben Simmons and Tatum and Esco.
So
that's what the fuck we was talking about.
So let me be very clear. Boston is on fucking national TV all the fucking time. Everybody
that's
in the
fact.
National media, they see Tatum. All the time. Tatum is really good. He's 19. He's legitimate. And he's legitimately 18. And he's real good. 19. He's legitimately 19. He's real
he's
good.
He's more than just good. Sean,
no
come on,
Utah
man.
Games. No Utah games are on motherfucking national TV. But if you look at the stats, my nigga has.
Right.
Donovan Mitchell is the Rookie of the Year as of right now. And you agree with it. So. It goes against what you see in basketball to give it to Tatum. Because you wouldn't give it to Tatum. You yourself
would not
give it to Tatum.
No.
And that's my point. And what the media is doing is false. Because y'all not watching what this nigga's doing. I check the stat box and the highlights every game to see what this nigga's doing. And he's killing the niggas. He's not just beating. He's killing. He started coming off the bench. Now he start. Move to the side, motherfucker.
Son. My nigga's averaging 13 and 5 boards a game, my nigga. That's not bad for a rookie, man. I'm talking about Tatum, man. That's not bad, my nigga. His last 10 games, averaging 14 a game, man. Like, shooting 47% from the field, 32
you're
minutes.
You're not making no points.
He's getting heavy minutes. He had 32
you're
minutes as a rookie?
You're not making a point because you still say Donovan Mitchell's rookie of the year. So my whole point, the whole point of this conversation was Donovan Mitchell is rookie of the year. They're probably gonna give it to fucking Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons is deservedly so too. But the narrative that if it wasn't going to be Ben Simmons, that it should be Tatum is such a slap in the fucking face of what Donovan Mitchell is doing.
Yeah,
that's
Donovan Mitchell averaging 18 points, 3 boards, 3 assists a game. That's phenomenal. You cannot take that away from anything. Last 10 games, he's been averaging 22 points a game. That's a fact. But their record is 17-25. So people are going to look at it like, okay, are they looking at the record maybe? Because Boston got the number one record in the East, while Utah is 17-25?
They're not looking at the record. They're not looking at the record. They just don't see Donovan Mitchell. And the media doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. Me and you watch these morning shows every day. They don't know what they're looking at.
So let me ask you this. Tyronn Lue said something about Cavaliers real quick about niggas need to stop playing like they have an agenda. What did you take from that comment?
I don't know what he meant by that. I really don't. Everybody is Monday morning quarterbacking when he said that. Who has an agenda? The only person who controls the destiny of Cleveland is LeBron James. Everything begins with LeBron James. And it ends with LeBron James. What? The agenda of Jay Crowder? Is that what's upsetting you? Jay Crowder's agenda? Cal Corver's agenda? You know what I'm saying? So who the fuck are you talking about?
Well, Sean, to be fair now, they have a lot of restricted free agents. I think I saw a list yesterday on TV. It was Crowder. It was Isaiah, LeBron. Corver, a lot of niggas. So maybe he's an agenda. Like, niggas are playing for their contracts for next season if they're not being in Cleveland. I think a lot of niggas on that team is playing for a contract next year. If you got over, like, 8 niggas, that's going to be restricted free agents. That's why if you're Cleveland, you get with that first-round pick that you got from Brooklyn, do you trade that shit to get a big man like DeAndre Jordan just to make LeBron happy? Because Tristan Thompson is terrible.
There's no commitment that LeBron James is going to be there next year. The only thing that's going to happen is Cleveland is going to hope and pray LeBron James can win them another championship. If he doesn't, he's just going to bounce. At first, I thought LeBron James would not leave. But after watching that tirade he did, LeBron James only wants to play with stacked teams. He clearly sees what Golden State is doing, and they don't have the firepower. There's no way on God's green earth LeBron James will stay with Cleveland if they lose again.
They're gonna lose again, though. If that's the case.
And that means he's out. And that means he's out, and he's not going to. And he will play next year with two legitimate superstars.
I don't even know if they're better than Toronto or Boston right now. Everybody says, "Oh, it's a short deal. They're coming out the East." Yes, I will put it at 80%. I will put it at 80%. They're coming out. 85%. They're coming out the East.
Hell, 85. You do realize that they had Kyrie.
Talk to me.
They don't have Kyrie anymore. Let's be clear. They fought the East the last 3 years because they had unstoppable, unguardable Kyrie Irving. That's what they had. They don't have that now. So to just say, oh, they're just gonna come out the East again, like Kyrie didn't count. Kyrie mattered
a lot
in every series.
Word.
And you're going to see it in the playoffs when niggas is going ham and LeBron is like, wait a minute, there's nobody that can just drop 40 and 35 at ease like Kyrie can do? He's going to notice that.
But let's be real, though, my nigga. Also, this team is the oldest team in the NBA, my nigga. They have to know that. You got a bunch of old niggas on this squad.
At some point, man, age catches up with you. And LeBron, you don't have the kid. You don't have the kid. LeBron. You don't have the kid. That's what
oh,
there's no
that kid's a baller.
The number one record in the East.
Okay,
that's a fact
that you keep talking about.
That's a fact.
So,
all right. Next game, man. The Golden State Warriors go in on the road to the Milwaukee Bucks. No Steph Curry, another sprained ankle. I think he's playing tonight, but last night did not play. Game was the ESPN game. I actually watched a lot of this game. I watched last night. KD, Kevin Durant, 36 minutes, 12 for 20 from the field, 26 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. Draymond Green, 21 points, 10 boards, 7 assists. Man, I really love that nigga Draymond Green. Sorry, maybe I know there. The Greek Freak played real good last night, man. 23 points, 7 boards, 10 for 19 from the field. I got to say this, though, Greek Freak. You have got to work on that jumper, my nigga. And please don't shoot no more threes, because you shot 2 airball threes last night. You went for 3 attempts from 3 and 2 airballs, my nigga. Ugh, that was kind of ugly, though. But, yeah, man.
Warriors, 108-94. Only way your three-point shooting improves is by shooting them in games. You can't tell him to work on his three, and he's working on it in practice.
In practice.
And then in the game, he's shooting it, and he's missing. Like, he just shoot him so he can know if the practice he's putting in is paying off. So I have no problem with the Greek Freak pulling those threes. Because
work on your mid-range first. You got to get a mid-range first, Greek Freak. Get a mid-range go to the three-point line. I don't know what this nigga's talking about.
So let me give the difference between how three Letterman looks at a basketball player.
Oh,
right?
God.
The Greek Freak is averaging 28 motherfucking points a game. He is a prolific motherfucking scorer. That's what he is. He gets buckets.
By dunks and by the rim. Right, and driving in.
So what?
Again, he has no mid-range game.
And guess what?
He has no mid-range game.
Shaq didn't have the footwork of Hakeem. He didn't have that backboard jump shot that Tim Duncan had. But guess what? He scored. Okay?
Wait a minute. You're talking about Shaquille O'Neal, the most dominant big man that me and you ever seen. What are you talking about?
Who couldn't shoot free throws? Who could not shoot free throws at all? Shaq, you got to work on your free throws. Fuck my free throws. I'm averaging 29 a game.
But,
what, nigga?
Yeah, exactly. Because no one could guard Shaq. There's a big difference.
The most dominant big man ever in the game.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And nobody can guard the Greek Freak. And nobody can guard the Greek Freak. 28 points per game with no jump shot and no mid-range, according to you. And he's averaging 28.
You got to work on that. He's 23 years old. Obviously, he has to work on that. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
All right.
That's all.
No doubt. KD just passed 20,000, second youngest in history to pass 20,000. Let me be very clear so everybody can know. The only reason why he's the second youngest is because, remember, he got injured early. He got injured one of those years, and then he played like 20 games. Y'all remember that, right? KD had an injury play year where he just didn't play. That hurt him because he would have did it in less games than LeBron. Because basically they did it in the same amount of games now. LeBron just did it in a few less. But KD would have easily had that if KD didn't get hurt and miss damn near a whole season. KD's special. He's the difference maker. Every great player on every great team, KD is better than you. Every great player on every great team in the NBA, KD is better than their best offensive player. And that's why Golden State is going to win again, and there's nothing the Greeks or anybody else can do about it.
I got to say, man, Kevin Durant was doing some moves last night, man. He caught the Greek Freak. You know, the Greek Freak, he had that nigga jumping in the air, man. He caught that nigga, crossed him, and just took it to the rim at will, my nigga.
Quick.
I like the Greek
Freak. Quick sidebar.
Good.
A quick sidebar. I want to put some respect on Lou Williams' name. We have never mentioned him when we talked this year. My man is on the radar. I have the utmost respect for him. That 50 he scored, that was some easy 50, and he did it against anybody. Traded to the Lakers. When he got traded to Houston, he's the leading scorer for the Lakers coming off the bench. He was coming off the bench for Houston doing work. Lou Williams is a flat-out stud when it comes to scoring because any team he plays for, he can score at will. That means he's great. That's a sign
if I'm LeBron,
Jamal Crawford.
If I'm LeBron.
That.
If I'm LeBron, I try to get Lou Williams, though. I try to find a trade to get that nigga on the team, man.
Well, guess what? Doc Rivers is like, I can't let this guy go. You know it, because that's the same thing that happened with Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford was a journeyman. Doc Rivers gets him.
Yes.
Jamal Crawford is just unguardable. He's like, you know what? I got to keep a guy like this. Right now, Doc Rivers is on the Lou Williams wave. And rightfully so.
Nah, but hold on. You get to get ball. If you trade Lou Williams, you get to get Brooklyn's first pick. That first round pick. And the Clippers ain't going nowhere. So that's something to talk to, you know, to think about.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
That is something to think about because people want Trae Young and people want that guy from Duke. So
that's Trae Young. I want him on the Knicks. I want him on the Knicks.
Y'all got Frank Nitti. You good.
All right, whatever, my nigga. Speaking of the Knickerbockers, they played last night. My dark horse team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, 118-108 on the road. The Knicks, once again, I feel like a fucking broken record here. They never win on the road. 4-15 away from MSG. Porzingis, 17 points, 10 boards. Cancer, 16 points, 12 boards. You know how I feel about Enes Kanter already, man. 8-for-10 from the field. Love that dude's game, man. The return of Tim Hardaway, 16 points. It was a good game going down the stretch, but we could not maintain. And obviously, my nigga, who you show no goddamn respect for, Carl Anthony Towns, 23 points, 15 boards. A guy that you're critical of, Andrew Wiggins, 16 points, 6 boards. Yeah, man.
Stop right there. Stop
over
right
Knickerbockers.
Stop right there. Stop right there. You saluting that game Andrew Wiggins had? You saluting that?
No, I'm highlighting.
Okay.
He was 7 for 20
right.
from the field.
Right.
How can I big up 7 for 20 from the field, my nigga?
He's having a regressive year, but they're winning, so people are completely overlooking it. But I'm not overlooking it. Like, KD went to a team of scorers, and his game didn't just drop where he got to average, like, 18 points a game. Like, Wiggins goes from 23 a game last year to 17 a game? I'm not even going to count that sacrifice. I mean, you took 20 shots last night, so you're trying to score.
Hey,
so, yeah, Wiggins is
I gotta
not
highlight
having
this, though.
Great.
I got to highlight this also. They didn't want to pay that nigga all that guap. When they originally gave him a contract extension, they didn't really want to give that to him, my nigga. And it's like, after he got his guap, it's like, ugh.
Here's the problem. Don't give it to him. The open market was going to give it to him without question. He's 23 years old. The open market was going to give it to him. They had no fucking choice.
Right. That's a fact.
He was getting it
right.
from somebody else.
That's real. And like you said, and like you highlighted, they're winning. So, you know, 28-16. That's a good, you know, the number 5 or number 6 in the West. You know, any words for my Knickerbockers, man?
No, no words. None. Nothing to say about
no
them.
No words. None at all. Nothing at all.
Nothing to say about them.
That. What do you mean? Nothing to say about it? About their NBA team?
No, I'm just saying, man. Just you covered all the bases. You covered all the bases.
All right. Another game, man. Your dark horse team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Beating the Portland Trailblazers, man. Great win last night for your Pelicans, my nigga. They're surviving and trying to stay surviving. What, 500? Are they even playing 500 basketball? I think so. I think they are.
Yes, they are.
By the string, though. Anthony Davis, 36 points, 9 boards. Your man, Boogie Cousins, 24 points, 19 boards. Jesus Christ, Boogie. Rondo, 3 points.
Let me ask you something. I got to ask you something. Who's a better player to you? Cousins or Davis?
Cousins. I'm going Boogie, man.
The reason why I ask that is because I remember.
Before you go, though. If you look at the minutes, though, Anthony Davis was 16 for 23 from the field. Boogie was 9 for 21. So I don't know. But I still take Boogie.
Okay. No, the only reason I was asking.
Anthony Davis is injury prone. I trust Cousins is much more healthy than Anthony Davis.
That's to me, that's why to me it's a no brainer why I take Boogie.
I mean, there's no indication that Anthony Davis can play a full season at any given time because he's never, ever done it, never even came close to doing it. You know, for a fact, Boogie is a head case. He's a mental case. But, my God, Boogie can
do
it all. So that's why I take Boogie.
We never talk about the Trailblazers, though.
Because they're underachieving. That's why.
And why is that when CJ McCollum, and fucking Damian Lillard, Dame had 23, 8 assists last night, 22-20 record for NBA. I mean,
their backcourt is just not enough firepower
at all. And if you look at it, their number. Well, damn, my nigga, we should show some goddamn respect. They're number 5 in the fucking West, my nigga.
Okay. They're number 5, and they potentially would play. Who would they play?
If the playoffs started today, number 5 and the number 4 seed to play my dog horse team, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I think Minnesota can beat them. Because Carl Anthony Towns would completely be the difference maker in that series. Minnesota would beat them, not hands down, because of Towns, straight up.
Well, you know what's funny though? We gotta give Minnesota and the San Antonio Spurs are tied for 3-4. They're not that far behind. The Timberwolves are 28-16. And the Spurs are 28.
Listen,
so you got to pay attention to that 3-4 spot.
Well, you know, I'm hoping the Spurs lock the third seed in because they have arguably the best player in the NBA, according to you, Charles Barkley, and a lot of other people. They have the best two-way player, arguably the best player in the league, according to you, Skip Bayless, Charles Barkley.
My nigga, he's been hurt. He's been hurt, my nigga. Don't do that. He's been hurt. Kawhi's been hurt, my nigga. Put some fucking respect on his name, my nigga.
And that is why you have to look at him as he's hurt. He's not playing at his all-star level. He's putting up his 20 and stuff, but he's clearly doing it in pain. He has a tear in his shoulder, man. He's going to be playing with a tear in his shoulder. Shit ain't easy.
Sidebar, what do you think about the Miami Heat at number 4, though? I know you hate the Heat, but damn, number 4?
I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Get some recognition, though, man. Come on.
I do not like Eric Spoelstra. I do not like Pat Riley, but I have to acknowledge that they are shocked.
Nigga, they won 6 in a row.
I'm shocked. You know, I know they have your favorite player, Tyler Johnson. You know, so, you know, we all good.
Get out of here with that shit, my nigga. And obviously, the Toronto Raptors. Early this week, they beat the Star Rag out of Cleveland Cavaliers.
Toronto Raptors, the team that can.
They can't even say Toronto. Look at them get hyped.
The team that I will pick to beat Boston if they meet them. The only team I will be hesitant to pick the Raptors to beat is Cleveland. That's the only team. I will pick Raptors against any other team in the East.
I don't know why you would do that because easily. It's funny you say easily because, I mean, if we all watch NBA here. Hot comment, boys. DeMar DeRozan does not play good in the playoffs at all. So if all of a sudden they go into the Eastern Conference Finals and they can beat the Boston Celtics against a guy like Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving's the best player on the court when they play, my nigga. And I'm going with Kyrie all day, every day. And the Celtics play better defense than the Raptors.
So we'll be clear on that. They will go into that series with the leading scorer in both series will be playing for Toronto. That's the fact. So the person who scores
I trust Morris, and I trust your boy Smart. So they're not going to stop DeRozan, but they can contain him. They really can't contain him.
What I will say is this: if they play. The leading scorer of both series will be on Toronto. That's the only fact I can say. With no opinion. I can only give you a fact. The leading scorer will be on Toronto.
What fact is that?
The fact is DeMar DeRozan averages more. He scores more points than Kyrie Irving.
Hey, you ain't fucking points, man. You ain't fucking points. The fuck does that mean?
What does it mean if you – here's the question. You ask me, what does it mean if I average more points than you? So let's see. This year – DeMar DeRozan averages more points than Kyrie Irving. Last year,
Okay, and he's not a better player. Is he a better player? Is he a better player than Kyrie?
That's not what I'm saying.
So what the fuck are you talking about? He's averaging 25, 4, 5 assists and 4 boards a game. Fine. Okay.
And what's Kyrie's stats? What's Kyrie's stats? 5 assists a game. 24-5 assists a game.
Okay.
So they both scored the same points and the same amount of assists. But in your world, Kyrie is going to be a much better player. We'll see about that.
They play better defense. First of all, smart guy.
A.K.A. Kobe Bryant. DeMar DeRozan, a.k.a. Kobe Jelly
Bean. Yo, stop that bullshit. My nigga, stop that bullshit. He's nothing like Kobe. What the hell? Yeah. My nigga, he doesn't have game-winning shots like Kobe. He doesn't play defense like Kobe. Was this nigga ever a first-team all-defense? No. No, the fuck he was. What the fuck are you talking about?
Fuck that reward. I'm talking about as an offensive player. It's like watching Kobe.
Oh, you don't like defense? I know you don't like defense. First of all, my nigga Kyrie's averaging 24 points a game, 5 assists, and 3 boards. On a new roster, in a new city. DeRozan's played his whole fucking NBA career in bum-ass Toronto. What are you talking about? Niggas ain't going nowhere, my nigga. Fuck you mean?
That's fair. That's fair.
All right, my nigga. Are we ready for the appreciation time? What are we doing?
Absolutely, man.
Going to Brooklyn, man. Absolutely. BKBR2OKLY to the N. When's the first time I heard this young lady, my nigga? Was it on the I Shot Your remix with Mr. LL Cool J, Prodigy, Fat Joe? Who else I miss on that track, sir? I'm talking about somebody else. Keith Murray wasn't on
the
that track.
The most beautiful thing in this world.
Yes, Keith Murray. Yes, Keith Murray was definitely on there. Just like that. And she had the last verse on there, my nigga. Inga. And you know I'm half Trini also, so I got love for her. And she's a dark-skinned shorty, too. Oh, I love y'all dark-skinned chocolate woman.
So wait a minute. You're half Trini?
Yeah.
So
I'm part of Trini. I'm more Jamaican.
Sidebar. Cardi B's father's Trinidadian, but everybody says she's not black. Could you explain this?
Minaj is half Trini, too.
This is a sidebar, because everybody is saying Cardi B's not black. So I just want to know, does her father is Trinidadian? He's a black man, and I just want to know.
But I think
what does that mean about her?
I think with Cardi B being that she has a strong Hispanic accent, that's the first thing you hear from her, and you're not thinking that she has any kind of descended in her blood. You're not thinking that. Like, I did not know she was half Trini until you just pointed it out for the first time. I'm already thinking she's Hispanic, so you pointed it out for us that she's half black and half Hispanic. She's 50-50. She's 50-50.
Okay.
But I'm going to Brooklyn right now, my nigga. I say Fox Boogie. You say what, Monkey?
One of the women who led a new renaissance of female MCs in the mid-90s. Before Foxy Brown came out, the females who stood out were Latifah, Moni Love, Yo
check,
Yo,
check,
MC Light, Lady of Rage. You know what I'm saying?
Check.
So that was, what we knew about female MCs. Now, I know I'm missing some, but in terms of new who came on the scene and just electrified the hip-hop industry, she did it. The Roxanne Shanté, that's 80s. I was trying to name some 90s people. I didn't want to.
Just, okay. My bad.
The fact of the matter is, you can't say Rock and Shante, because I did say Latifah and Light, and they from the late 80s too. So the thing that that Foxy ushered in, she ushered in a new era of the female MC. The female MC that sells records. I would say The Brat was also around this time. Minty,
good call.
A harmonic rap hybrid. But this was a new generation that came on the scene. So I was really, so for you people to understand exactly what Foxy was doing in 1995 and 1996, She's doing everything that what Cardi B is doing right now in terms of every song she gets on is fire. So she's on I Shot Ya. That song was fire. L. Cool J off the Mr. Smith album.
Wait a minute. Did you compare Foxy Brown to Cardi B?
No, I'm trying to explain to people that how popular Cardi B is right now, because Cardi B is the most popular person, the hottest thing in hip hop right now. So what I'm trying to explain to people
Foxy was rhyming with niggas though.
Like
Foxy started rhyming with niggas. Foxy was rhyming with niggas.
No.
So the
no,
niggas gave him respect. Niggas didn't give Cardi B respect, man.
Listen to what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to explain how popular Foxy Brown was. She was on fire. Cardi B right now is on fire. I want people to know who, every time they hear Cardi B on all these songs, it was the same thing with Foxy Brown. And I'm trying to give the song people can understand. Because a lot of people may not know how popular Foxy Brown was. And I'm telling them, the way Cardi B is the most popping bitch in hip hop right now, that's what Foxy Brown was.
So let me ask you, you heard a verse on the LL joint. What was your first initial reaction when you heard her last verse? What was your?
I didn't know it was a girl. I thought it was just a young dude rapping. I never knew who it was. I just heard the song.
Because we heard the song.
Did
we heard the song before we heard
song?
The video.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was a girl. I just heard it, and it just sounded like a young. You know, remember Shaheen had that kind of voice.
She said, "Grab
young.
My tatas, though, my nigga." She did say grab your tatas, though. I mean, what niggas saying grab your tatas? I mean, pause.
I didn't know. I'm just telling you. You said how I felt. I said I didn't know. I never seen
well,
it
she
before.
She said grab
you know,
your tatas. How could you not grab it?
I
grab it more than female saying grab your tatas.
You're right. And guess what? I didn't know. So I'm telling you, I didn't know.
Wait, let me. Not to get in your personal life. Have you indulged with Hispanic women in your life, sir?
Yo, my nigga, I'm telling you, when I first heard it.
I'm just asking a question.
No, my nigga, because I'm telling you. It did not sound like a girl when I first heard it. That's all I'm telling you. You said the first
the
time
lyrics,
I heard it, I did not know
lyrics.
It was a girl.
Grab your tatas.
Oh, fine, my nigga. Fine. I'm just telling you. I didn't know that it was
okay.
A girl.
Right.
You asked me that. And this right. Is this
okay.
What we're going to talk about with appreciation? Come on, my nigga. Let's
no,
real.
I'm just trying to find out, man. I kind of do not know that's a girl, but I need to handle that. So you heard the verse and what?
And I thought nothing of it. It was just a fire verse. You know, I didn't know that it was going to lead to anything. Then 96 comes around. And Jay-Z puts out a song with a female called Ain't No Nigga. Boom. That
big time,
was
big time, big tune, big tune, big tune, big tune.
That was the song that completely took off. When I say took off, it was a summer anthem. It was a spring summer anthem of 1996. It was so big of a song. It was on the B-side of Jay-Z's Dead President. And Flex was like, what's on the B-side? Oh, let me play this. And when he played it, first thing I heard was, damn, these niggas is just rhyming over It's My Thing by EPMD. EPMD appreciation coming. You niggas is really gonna understand why we gonna give EPMD the full appreciation.
Word,
but they
fact.
Used a beat that EPMD had already made iconic and
it's
legendary already. So I didn't know that this song would take off like that. It's the same thing I said about Get At Me Dawg. When 3 was like, oh, Get At Me Dawg is the worst thing I've heard in my life. Yo, my nigga, Get At Me Dawg. La 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 la.
It was fire.
Bah, 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 bah. Remember how crazy whenever Get At Me Dawg? And I told you, this is Get the Bozak by EPMD. So it didn't have that impact on me the way it had on you. Not me, though. This song,
yeah,
Foxy Brown and Hov was going back and forth, and it's fire. It's a fire.
Produced by Jazzo.
It's a fire song. Jazzo on the boards. It was a fire song. It was the number one song. It was the most popular song. So the reason why I said I'm trying to explain to people that Foxy Brown, when she first came out, was like how Cardi B's on every song. Cardi B has a song with G-Eazy that everybody loves. It gets mad play. Well, Ain't No Nigga was bigger than that song. Ain't No Nigga was the song. You know what I'm saying? They shot them. That song took off so much that they had to run and shoot a video for it.
Big Papa's in that video. Francis M to the SH. He's in that video. You know what I'm saying?
R.I.P. Biggie.
And that song took off. So then Foxy's on fire. So basically everything Foxy touches now is the hottest song in the world. She do a song with this nigga named Case, some R&B nigga that Mary J. Blige.
Wow.
Called Touch Me, Tease Me.
Yeah. Oh,
it was a song
shit.
Called Touch Me, Tease Me. It was a song called Touch Me, Tease Me. And that was the biggest
song.
I heard that shit on the Clue tape. So everything Foxy's on is fire and getting street rotation, radio rotation, every rotation. Which leads up to the hype that she has for her debut album, El Nana.
El Nana.
So she went the commercial route.
Solid album. Solid
she
album.
She got Teddy Riley. She got Teddy Riley. It's more than a solid album because this is what it did. She went platinum with that album. The album was a commercial super success. She was so hot that she rode her wave into an album that produced that first single with Blackstreet, Gotta Get Me Home Tonight, which
that
was,
shit was
the
big.
Radio ran with it.
That shit was
the
big.
Radio ran with it. Now, for a hip-hop historian like me, I'm going through the album like, okay, what I'm going to listen to? She had a song with Havoc called The Promise. It's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Favorite song on the album. Favorite song on the album by far. By far. Not even a question.
Havoc on the
Promise.
Beat, Havoc on the boards. Please put some respect on Havoc's name as a producer and MC.
That's a fact.
Let me be clear. My fault. I made a mistake. The greatest MC producer in the history of hip-hop, bar none. Easy. It's not even
now, let me ask you a question. I agree with you because the shit he says. What if somebody told you Kanye West? I'm just asking.
Only problem with that is that's a great argument that someone can say. But because Kanye West has a team of ghostwriters his entire career, that's why that'll never work. You know what I'm saying?
What
like Rhyme Fest, Consequence, and all them niggas wrote his rhymes for him. He always had writers. That's what changes it. Where nobody writes a Havoc. Havoc is just nice. So that's
okay,
why
what about
I
the RZA?
Havoc. RZA, no. Ruler Zigzag Ziggalah, no.
Ziggalah.
RZA's great, but he don't have as many rhymes as Havoc does. Like, when you think Mobb Deep, Havoc is rhyming on every single Mobb Deep song that you love, Havoc is rhyming on it. So this is a sidebar. So that's all I'll say about that. We could actually do a show on that and really break that down for me. But back to Boogie Brown. Anybody
and something to highlight also, she was 16 years old when she popped off, my nigga. Not looking like a 16-year-old. Like, I thought she was older than that. Then I remember when they told me she was still in high school. I was like, what? But she went to, I want to say Edward R. Murrow. Or was it Stuyvesant? One of them high school I remember she was going to and shit. I think it was either Edward R. Murrow or Midwood. One of them shits and shit. Anyway, can we talk about Foxy's flow? Just on flow alone, does she not have one of the best flows in female hip-hop history? I think she has a better flow than a lot of niggas. Just on flow alone, how she rides a beat.
Foxy Brown has one of the greatest flows in hip-hop history. Not for females, but for anybody. Just
facts.
For flow and delivery alone. It's one of the greatest ever. Which was why Nas
Flawless.
Saw the potential in her. And Nas was like, you're going to be part of our group, The Firm. And they capitalized on how popular she was with that super, super successful debut album, El Nana. And then she was on The Firm album the next year. So she, how
now,
how
did I mess you up, though? She went from Jay to Nas?
No, didn't mess me up at all. I didn't think anything of it. Was not a thought of nothing. She everybody rhymed with her. That's what I was trying to explain. She was the hottest thing in hip hop. Everybody wanted a piece of Foxy Brown. Everybody. And it didn't fuck me up because Jay kept fucking with her. Jay's relationship was still there. He still did songs with her. You know what I'm saying? So I really
During The Firm? During The Firm time?
No. He never stopped fucking with her because he never stopped fucking with Foxy. He was still fucking with her in terms of just like collaborating, doing stuff. Firm was 96.
What song, my nigga?
99. In 1999, on her second album, China Doll, Ho was still doing songs with her. He never stopped fucking with her. You know what I'm saying? She was doing songs.
Hold on, I'm trying to remember. Was Jay, because that China Doll album was trash. Was Jay-Z on that album?
Yes. Yes, he was on that album. Yeah, he was on that album.
All right, what do you think about China Doll?
I like China Doll. I like
that
China
shit at all. Three mics.
Now, okay,
I
know you didn't like it, but I liked it. Now, I didn't like the first single, Hot Spot. Did not like
that. Was oh, my God.
I did not like that at all.
Oh, my God. Wait for it.
I did not like that.
Sorry, Foxbook.
This album was just her trying to do a commercial. If you look at it, she got DMX on it. She got Maya. She got Toby. She got Jay-Z. So she had all the hot the moment on it, but the album didn't, you know. By the way, it was Bonnie and Clyde Part 2 that Jay-Z was on, okay? Produced by your boy Top 5.
98. That's a fact.
So, that
but
album
that's the song he probably had a stash for a long time.
It had one of my favorite songs called 456 of Beanie Siegel and Memphis Bleek. That was one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite.
That's the best song on the album. That's the best song on the album.
Okay. So the song with Jay-Z is not the best song on the album. I just want to get that clear.
You heard what I said, nigga. Fuck out of
here. No, I need to be clear. Bonnie and Clyde Part 2 with Jay-Z. Are you saying the song with Bleek and thing was better than that song?
Yes, I'm saying that.
Okay. So, Foxy Brown, just
well,
the
I got a question
though. The album was still successful and went platinum. So here's Foxy Brown, back to back platinum albums. Come on off a firm platinum album. She's still a very immensely successful female artist. Then she started fucking with niggas in the industry. Kind of fucked her up or derailed her career.
Shout out to you, Corrupt. Shout out to Corrupt, man. You got Foxy when she was just in her prime, my nigga. Shout out to you, Corrupt.
So her next album was Broken Silence.
Classic, favorite Foxy Brown album.
I think me and Three will both say this was Foxy's best album. And why this album was so dope? Why this album was so dope to me? Jay-Z wrote nothing. Okay.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And
that's the reason
like
why.
Like she said. So what? He wrote some songs. I blew them up the same. What did she mean by that?
Yeah, she did say that.
What did she mean by that? Maybe people don't know why Foxy Brown would say.
Because let's be real. Even though it's Jay-Z's song, Ain't No Nigga. Niggas love Foxy so much on there that really helped Jay-Z a lot, to be honest. That song did more for Jay-Z than Foxy Brown, even though that was on Ho's album. That's a fact. We keep it
so let me just tell you, let me give you my favorite songs off of Broken Silence. 7:30 is a classic song.
7:30. That's fast out.
Some say I'm wild out.
That song is fire.
That song is Foxy Brown.
You're talking some real shit right now.
Against any female who ever lived.
BK Anthem, my
like
nigga. BK Anthem was fire.
You want to talk about flowing? BK Anthem was fire. Oh, yeah, with Spraga Benz was fire.
Listen, I'm a Caribbean nigga. Let me say this also, man. Foxy Brown is the illest Caribbean chick to ever, even though she's Trini, and she does, you know, do the Caribbean thing, and she does Patois and all that, because let's be real. I don't mean to get my West Indian nigga. Shout out to y'all right quick. I'm half Trini, half Jamaican, but I eat more Jamaican food. I listen to more reggae music than soca music. And Foxy obviously does also. So when she does the Patois and all that songs with Tables Will Turn with Baby Sham and all that, I fucking love them shits, man. Love them shits. She's a lady patriot of hip hop.
So let me tell you, I'm going to give you a very pop song that I really liked, and you may not have liked it, but it was just the way Foxy was rhyming. She just, like, this is an album where basically every song, Foxy, her flow and delivery was so perfect that I liked every song. I mean, take the most blatant commercial song on the album. It was a song called Candy, produced by the
I like Candy or Khalees. I like that, Khalees.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun. Yo,
That beat was fire. She wrote that beat.
Yeah.
That beat and her flow
and she
was like a marriage, my nigga. It was
fire.
I agree with that.
The song
Run
Them,
I agree with that.
The song Run Them with Baby Sham, where she completely
I love that shit,
Wooten,
my nigga. Love that shit.
Trilly Wooten,
okay? I love that shit.
Another fire
love
song.
It.
The name of the album, Broken Silence.
Love it.
That was an introspective.
Love that,
like,
too.
Introspective so much. Broken Silence is introspective. So
it was.
Very
was
clear.
That when she's talking to moms? No,
yes.
that's the letter and shit. Was that the letter? Was that
the
letter? The
letter.
Yeah, talking to moms and shit. I like that shit, too.
So, I'm going to be real with you, man. I played this album a lot. Like, I remember
the
came out. I mean, I was really playing this shit. Like,
2001, right?
Like, let's keep it 100. This is why I will always edge Foxy over Kim. This album,
let's go here.
Album,
this is what I want to have. See? I want to have here. Now, you just took it there. Why do you say Foxy over Kim? I want to hear this. I like this kind of talk.
Because this album showed you, it showed growth. It showed how nice she was. Because let's be real. After Big Dot, Kim came out with an album. And it was okay,
Notorious Kim?
Right? Yeah, the Notorious K.I.M.
I ain't like that. It wasn't hardcore. It wasn't hardcore.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't. And Hardcore is Kim's best album. This,
yes.
Foxy Brown, later into her career. Well, let's take it here.
All right. So let me ask you this thing. Hardcore, or Broken Silence? Foxy's best project against Kim's best project?
Oh, man, that's a tough one, man. Because if you take my song Drugs, that Big wrote. See, this is weird. My favorite song on Hardcore.
Drugs, man.
Big wrote them.
It's Drugs.
Big wrote them.
Yeah.
And Lil' Kim flowed them with perfection. Like, let's be real. Did you like the song Drugs? Damn, Ma, I like,
nigga,
you like
the favorite
lie.
Song.
The
God that's the favorite song.
Okay.
Nigga, I can play that right now. I can play that
so
to this day.
So my point is,
that
song is
2018.
So, that song is, so that's my point. If we take the best Lil' Kim song we can think of and we go to Drugs, and then I take my favorite song off of this, but it's still I'm going to give it to Foxy because this is Foxy's third album. Kim had already lost her fucking mind, didn't know what she wanted to do, man. She wanted to be a pop superstar, you know what I'm saying? So, all right.
Who do you think the masses? You asked the average woman in that time coming up, when we was coming up. Who do you think? Who do you think females like more, Foxy or Kim?
I think Foxy more than Kim.
I think like Kim though.
I think I liked Kim too. I think it would be split down the middle because I think we didn't talk about Kim yet, but Kim and Foxy both came out at the same time and they both went platinum. So hip hop has shown you already that there can be room for two MCs, despite. With DJ Academics and all these motherfuckers think that there can only be one rapper at a time who's a female. That is not true. Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown were at the height of their careers at the same exact time.
Is it a shame they never did music together? Is it a shame they never did?
Yes,
they never got in a booth?
Yes.
And it did
now
music?
This is one where it's a shame because they have a classic cover on the Source magazine with both of them on the cover. That is a classic magazine, both of them on the cover.
Facts.
And to see that, you're like, okay, they got to be music coming together. The hating-ass niggas behind the scenes stop that from happening. I know that. I can't prove it, but I know that's why they never did songs together. And then all
you
of a
niggas
sudden,
was in
their
ears like, Kim is better than Foxy. Kim, you better than Foxy. You better than Kim. And people telling Kim, you better than Foxy.
That's what happened, man. And then it just spiraled out of control. And then it spilled over into wax that had dangerous ramifications. Lil' Kim hit the salvo on Mobb Deep song. And then Foxy returned fire on a CNN song, Bang, Bang, Bang.
Oh,
Lord
my.
Have mercy. You want to,
Capone. I'm sorry, Capone. I'm sorry, Nori. Foxy could have went dolo on that joint, my nigga. Sorry, Capone, Nori.
She bodied that song.
Foxy owned that
she
shit.
She bodied that song. She bodied
that's
that
a fact.
Song. She
that's
bodied
a
that
fact,
song.
Yo.
That
she could have went dolo on that shit.
Song because of Foxy. This was crazy. This is the difference.
Yep.
That song is classic because of Foxy, whereas
Agreed.
Lil' Kim was on the Mobb Deep remix
and the song was already a classic. It was already, Firestorm was already a classic without the remix.
That's real rap. That's real rap right there.
This is the reason why Bang 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 is a classic song.
Yep.
So that is why.
She got at Kim, too. She got at Kim hard. Oh, yo, she got at you, Kim. Fuck, she got at you, Kim. Yo.
So to me, this is how
Brooklyn will raise hoes. Oh, my God, yo. Fox.
Yeah, so.
I got Foxy over Kim, man. I agree with that. She also beat Eve. That was kind of weird. But then the hearing issue, though, when she had her going deaf a little bit in the air, did she go left right there? I think after that, her musical career was in the same.
So Fox's career suffered after that, and that is why I choose. But see, the thing which you made about hip-hop is she has enough of a body of work that is classic, legendary material for me. You know what I'm saying? I'll use the Kane example. Kane only has 2 albums for you, right? Only 2. Where Foxy has 3. Foxy has 3 albums that literally marinated in the conscious of she still had it. Whereas you felt by Kane's 3rd album, it was not the same no more. So to me, Foxy has a body of work from 1995 to 2001. That's a long run in hip hop to be relevant and matter.
It was.
So it was deeply impactful for me. And Foxy Brown is just, she's legendary. I mean, I'll keep it a stat.
But
later on, she
worked
with
Black Hand
Crab.
She's not likable. Like a lot, you've heard stories about Foxy throughout the years. I mean, you and I have both heard stories about Foxy.
I'm not judging on none of that, man. I'm just judging.
But I gotta throw that out there, though. Fighting in the beauty salon.
I'm just judging her on her music, man, and her music had a very strong impact on me in my hip hop life. Fox Boogie Brown, and what I was gonna say was sidebar right quick. Later on in her career, she got with Black Hand and did some songs with Graf. Let me tell you, the 2 songs she had with Graf, I played them shit nonstop.
Yeah, that's just a fight. She gonna sign with them niggas, wasn't she? With Chaz,
huh?
With Chaz and them niggas, was she gonna sign a Black Hand?
They was trying to revive her career.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it fell through.
And she faked on them niggas. She did some funny style
song,
shit though, from what I heard though. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. But the song she did with them was fire.
Oh my god. Yo. That's our Foxy Brown appreciation. Before I got you, I just want to, even if we take 5 minutes, I just want to ask you this question, man. Figure in our culture when it comes to Black folks, man. I just want to take a few minutes here, man.
Hold up. Few minutes is not enough to do this, man, because I really got to go at this time. And
okay, we'll sign up on that. We'll save that for tomorrow, man. Definitely. I don't like the appreciation to tomorrow, man. Take us home, my nigga.
PSA podcast, where you get authentic, in the building hip hop appreciation. In the building.
I like that.
This is what the building means. I was in my 20s when I was listening to Foxy Brown over this thing. So I really, really know what I'm talking about.
Facts.
That means I was in the building. At the tunnel when all these records were breaking. PSA podcast.
Talking about it.
When we talk hip hop, it's really talking hip hop. The Drake era is not hip hop to us. That's our era of hip hop. It's PBS hip hop. That hip hop, that era of hip hop is PBS Channel 13 hip hop. You niggas, y'all need to leave hip hop alone, man. This is our shit.
Mm.
That's the fact.
I gotta agree with my partner. That's a fact. I mean, y'all hear us up here, man. And the thing about me and this nigga, we love hip hop. Like, there's other niggas that have platforms. I'm not saying they don't love hip hop, but I don't think they love hip hop. And I gotta say that because I know how Sean is, and y'all know I am and shit. So, when it comes to hip hop music and sports, this nigga and I is like identical twins. Like, we eat this shit, sleep this shit. And it is what it is, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. Your boys, man. Back at it tomorrow. Special segment tomorrow, man. One!